We're hearing his side of the story.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Board Chairman Ben Bernanke was on the defense yesterday against charges that the Fed helped to fuel the bubble in the housing market. In a speech in Atlanta, Bernanke said interest rate policy wasn't the problem, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The Fed was blamed for keeping interest rates too low for too long following the recession of 2001. Many would argue those low rates led to the speculative housing bubble of the last decade. But Bernanke told the American Economic Association that very low interest rates were needed to get the economy back on track. He said the problem had more to do with lax regulation by the Fed and other bank regulators, which allowed banks to make reckless loans.
At some point, both lenders and borrowers became convinced that house prices would only go up. Borrowers chose, and were extended, mortgages that they could not be expected to service in the longer term.
Bernanke didn't say much about where interest rates are headed now. Most analysts don't expect the Fed to increase rates until the middle of this year at the earliest. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Well, the housing market appears to be on the mend, and markets are showing a little zing to start the new year. European markets are up 1% or less. Asian shares are mostly higher today. Over in Japan, the Nikkei was up, with Japan Airlines stock surging 35% amid reports the government there was giving it some more help. American markets start the new year higher than they started 2009. NASDAQ shares are an impressive 44% higher than at the start of last year. The S&P up 23%, and the Dow finished the year higher by 19%. Chinese farmers got a scolding in Copenhagen. At the climate talks there, they were told they're using too much polluting fertilizer. Many African farmers have the opposite problem, not enough fertilizer to grow food. But some farmers in Rwanda are learning organic techniques instead. Marketplace's Gregory Warner has more.
Fatty Munyamana is a farmer in the poorest part of Rwanda, the central district of Nyamata. In 30 years tilling his land, he's never grown enough to feed his own family. The problem is the soil. It's dry and sandy, and he can't afford fertilizer to improve it. But this year, Thaddy grew a lot more. He even has surplus vegetables to sell.
I have vegetables that I used to go and buy from the market, but now instead my neighbors come to buy from me.
Josh Ruxin is director of the Millennium Villages Project in Rwanda. He's helped Thaddy learn organic methods, like using composts and cow manure to boost the soil. Really basic stuff.
Check it out.
What's going on here?
This is, you use it for irrigation.
Ruxin shows me some recycled water bottles shoved upside down in the soil.
And it works great, costs nothing, highly effective.
He says that teaching farmers to go green isn't only better for the environment, it's cheaper than handing out fertilizer.
If they can even track down the fertilizer. There's been such a run on fertilizer that one of the last places in the world that the fertilizer is going to reach is the relatively small market of Rwanda.
He takes me to the local market in Nyamata, where food prices have almost doubled from last season. Local farmers, he says, are poised to take advantage of this. They don't have the growing transportation costs of international growers.
The farmers all around Nyamata have got an opportunity today that they've not seen, certainly in their lifetimes, and that opportunity is to really get a fair price for their food in the market.
To hold on to that opportunity for the long haul, Ruxin's farmers will need a lot more help with bank loans and government subsidies to keep people buying local. Meanwhile, farmer Thaddy Munyamana hopes to earn enough at least to send his kids to school and off the farm for good. In Nyamata, Rwanda, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
The world's tallest building opens today. Burj Dubai soars at least 2,600 feet. The super tall skyscraper took more than 5 years to build, can be seen from as far away as Iran, and made it through a financial crisis that shook the emirate to its core. Now, if it can only keep the thing rented.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
There's that old Mark Twain quote, quitting smoking is easy. I've done it 1,000 times. Well, not much has changed for smokers in the century after his death. For those who have made a New Year's resolution to finally put the pack down, there soon may be new hope, as Brett Neely reports.
Many smokers use nicotine patches or gum when they try to quit, but you're still using nicotine.
It is the one molecule that creates the addiction.
That's Rafat Fahim. He's the CEO of Nabi Biopharmaceuticals in Maryland. Instead of using an addictive substance to wean smokers, Nabi's scientists started looking at different approaches.
Lo and behold, we actually did find that the body can create antibodies to the nicotine molecule itself.
In other words, Nabi is developing the world's first vaccine against nicotine. Called NicVax, it's currently in advanced clinical trials. Doctors inject the drug to protect smokers from nicotine's addictive effects. Insurance companies will probably pay for the treatment if it gets approved, says pharmaceutical analyst Bob Wasserman.
They want the people to stop before they have to start paying for heart disease and lung cancer and high blood pressure, the other things that come along with smoking.
Pharma giant GlaxoSmithKline thinks the drug could have blockbuster potential. It's paid Nabi $40 million for the rights to market and sell the vaccine if the FDA approves it. A final decision should come in 2011. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And finally, a lot of people try to quit smoking by being hypnotized. And on this World Hypnotism Day, here's quite the opportunity for that. London hypnotist Chris Hughes will likely break a world record by putting thousands of people under on Facebook and Twitter later today at 3:30 Eastern Time. He tells the Independent newspaper it's a way to ensure goal achievement in 2010. One of those may be trying to spend less time on Facebook and Twitter. Hey, no trances at our website, just the latest business news and links to our podcast at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.